Well, it was budget night last night, and the Morrison government has unveiled a huge spending budget, as we predicted they would. So who are the winners and who are the losers? Are there going to be masses of jobs created through this huge infrastructure spending? And where are we going to find the people to fill these jobs? I thought I'd bring in our two experts, and Mark Morland is with me. Mark Morland is the founder of Team Invest. He's our go-to finance expert here on the night shift. And Graham Wynn is our employment expert from Superior People Recruitment. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Luke.
Are you both exhausted?
Well, there's lots of numbers on budget night, isn't there?
There is. Graham, lots and lots of jobs to be created. I'll talk to you in just a second about how you see it. Mark Morland from Team Invest, let's go through the winners and the losers. How do you see this? To me, it's definitely a pre-election budget.
I think so. I mean, we've only got probably a year till we have another election. And I think Morrison obviously wants to shore up their votes, particularly with women who got singled out specifically in this budget for lots of benefits. But I think it's going to be very positive for the economy, and I think very positive for generally for wage earners and small business. So I think it's a very positive, even though it's a very expensive budget. It's probably appropriate, I'd say, at this stage.
Yeah, the extension of the JobMaker scheme for another year is going to deliver, they reckon, a stunning $20 billion in tax relief over the next 4 years. We'll talk with you about that, Graham Wynn, in just a second. But look, they're saying it's a win for tradies, for teachers, for truckies and for farmers and indeed nurses. World Nurse Day today, by the way, fellas.
Is that right?
It is. It is indeed. But people on low and middle incomes are going to score, Mark, is it a 1,080 tax cut?
Yeah, it's virtually a repayment of tax you've already paid. But what it effectively means is you have an extra $1,080 to spend, and if it's a couple, it's $2,160. So that's material, and we were worried that that was going to be cut out because it was meant to be a temporary measure. It now is going to continue through basically until after the election.
Graham Wynn from Superior People Recruitment, our employment expert. Graham, if I can just join you here into the conversation, the job trainer program is going to be extended by an additional 12 months. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. They're hoping that creates a lot more places for people to do training. Some of the courses are free, some you still have to pay for, but this is to get people to do as much training. You need to be unemployed to do it, of course, but to try and get people on these training courses to give them some skills moving forward they can take into the workplace.
And the student visas, there's going to be a cap on students. Students will only be allowed to work 40 hours a fortnight. That's going to be scrapped. So now students, Graham, can work full time.
This is a very good one, this one, because in the past, students could only work 40 hours per fortnight, as you said. They're now saying that's scrapped now. And with the shortage of people in the hospitality and retail sectors, because we're not having the backpackers or the overseas people coming in, this means these people who are current student visas can now take up a lot of that slack. So this is a really good one for the students who can earn money, but also for the hospitality, tourism, retail sectors who can now start employing more of these people for longer hours. This is a win-win, this one.
And Graham, just explain the apprentice wage subsidy.
The apprentice wage subsidy, basically, if an employer takes on an apprentice, they can receive a payment back from the government of about $7,000 per quarter for those people that qualify for it. That is now being extended for a further 12 months, which is, again, is a good thing. This is one of those things where the states also have to contribute it as well. So still, the federal government still need the states to agree to these things. So some of these are partly contributed by the states. So they still get the states to approve these items.
Mark, thank you. Graham Wynn from Superior People Recruitment. Mark Morland, back to you from Team Invest, if I can. Where do you see the major winners and where do you see most of these tax benefits?
Okay, well, I think at the moment, when you said major winners, I think the instant asset write-off is being extended. That's a big one because that means you can buy a new vehicle for your small business, or if you're a tradie and you can claim 100% or you can depreciate down 100% in the first year when you purchase it. That's a big one. It's actually arguably what's caused the significant shortage of twin cabs and so on at the moment. They're quite hard to get. Even the secondhand values have gone up a lot. So I think that's a significant one to get people spending money. The whole budget's really been designed to get small business spending and investing and employing. So if it's successful in doing that, that obviously bumps up tax revenues as well and helps the budget. But I think that's a good one. There's a few others. There's 800,000 extra half-price domestic airfares that the government's subsidising. You know, that's all to help promote domestic tourism.
Tourism, yeah.
There's also big housing subsidies. There's another 20,000 new home loans that are going to be underwritten by the government, in that the borrower only has to have a 2% deposit, or 10,000 or a 2%, and then another 10,000 and 5% deposit. So that's going to get people into houses, owning their own homes, where they wouldn't have had enough deposit to be able to do it. I think that's a big one.
Is that for first home owners only?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the detail on that. So I suspect it probably is. Graham might know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, my reading of that was it's aimed at single parent market. That one, right, to help them get into the job, into the housing market, because they struggle. So it's really aimed at that single parent market to help them to get into the housing market.
If I can bring you both in on this, I'll get you, both your opinions on this. So the huge infrastructure spending, and Mark, I'll get you to elaborate on that again in just a second. But Graham Wynne, how many jobs is all this predictably going to create? And Mark, the question I've got for both of you is, do we have the labour here in Australia to fill these jobs, Graham?
Well, the answer is they're expecting a couple of 100,000 people to get work out of all this infrastructure spending. My concern is, and it has been, we've discussed this many times, where are these people going to come from? We already have a shortage of skilled workers, a mass shortage. Companies are crying out for people. Now, if we then open up these job trainer programs to get people with better skills, those courses take 2-3 years. So in the meantime, where are the workers going to come from while the borders are closed?
Mark Morland, are we going to have to increase immigration?
Well, we will, but that doesn't happen overnight. And in fact, at the moment, what they're forecasting is that the borders aren't going to open up for immigration until middle of next year. So that's over 12 months away. So, and then they've got to come here, you've got to attract them and then certify them or whatever you need to do to be able to employ them, particularly in the skilled area. So I think it's a really, really big problem. That's on it.
And how much of this money going into hospitality is dependent on us opening our borders to allow tourists back into Australia? Because we still don't know where that's going to be, do we?
Well, it's not going to be. It doesn't sound like it's going to be this year at all, because they're talking about allowing some students in at the end of the year. And that's the first. So the borders aren't opening until next year.
Yeah. Graham?
I agree with that. This is the real problem. We've created an idea here and a plan here to do something, but by having the borders closed and not having enough people skilled up already, none of this infrastructure can really go ahead, because we just don't have the workforce for it.
Mark, where is most of this infrastructure going?
Well, a lot of it's roads and bridges and so on, and what they're calling shovel-ready projects. But they're also saying that for the states, it's a use it or lose it. So if they don't do it, they're not going to get the money and they don't get to put it into other things. So it's going to put a fair bit of pressure on the states to get these things going. But I think the employment thing is a really, really big issue. I've got a friend who owns a big chain of bakeries nationally, and he was telling me the other day that he was advertising for some new bakers on Seek, and he said he'd normally get a couple of hundred applications. He got one.
Graham?
He got one application.
Well,
he said what he's going to do, he's now worried, because these guys move around a fair bit. And there's such a shortage, and he's looking at paying all his guys significant pay rises if they stay on another 12 months and so on, because he said it's a real problem, and we're seeing this all over the place.
Graham, you've talked about this.
I think it's a massive problem.
Yeah, look, I'm hearing all the time that employers and other recruiters are saying they can't remember a time like this. It was so difficult to get workers. They're just everyone is struggling. I got a client in Melbourne who just had a basic internal customer service job, taking phone calls, whatever. You put an ad on Seek, he would normally get a couple hundred resumes. After 30 days, he didn't get one. So there's a real problem here. There's a real problem.
Okay, so in order to get Australians off their asses and into jobs that they don't want, Graham, has Centrelink now got to be fair dinkum? And if you don't go for your, how many jobs a fortnight is it? 15, is it?
15, yeah.
15 jobs or interviews a fortnight. If you don't go and don't turn up with bells on, seriously wanting employment, you've got to be cut off, haven't you?
Well, the problem is you only have to apply for 15 jobs. You don't need to go for interviews. You just have to send a resume for 15 jobs. And I spoke to five people yesterday who are on Centrelink because their resume came through, and each one said, look, I'm not looking for work, but I have to send resumes off to keep getting my benefits. And that was five people in just one day. So the system, but we can't report those people. It's only if they don't turn up for job interviews or work itself. But if they're applying for jobs just for the hell of it, there's nothing we can do about that. There is no mechanism to stop that.
Mark Morland, it's frustrating. This is what Graham's seeing every day.
Oh, absolutely. And we're hearing it through companies we deal with. This is a really, really big problem. And in fact, they talk about unemployment going down and how good it all is, but the whole point is all this stimulation they're going to throw into the market is just going to increase the problem. I actually think it's going to cause significant wage growth. So at the moment, they're forecasting like 2% wage growth, which is basically just keeping up with inflation, so which is no growth. I think it's going to cause big growth in wages, actually, through supply and demand. It's a really unusual situation.
I'm talking with Team Invest founder Mark Morland and employment expert Graham Wynn from Superior People Recruitment. Just to wrap up, fellas, and there's a lot to go through and people will absorb it today. It has been a money bags budget. Mark Morland, the major winners?
I think it's spread out really broadly across the whole economy. So I think small businesses is going to do well out of it. One of the other things I really liked was the ATO, they're bringing in an independent umpire, which I think is not before time. When you have a fight with the ATO, they basically take you to court. This will bring in an independent arbitrator who you'll go and complain to and say the ATO is picking on you, and they can tell them to back off and so on. I think that's a really, really long, we should have had this years ago. I think that's great. I think there's a lot of stuff in there that's going to be very, very good for the economy and employees and small business. I think it's positive in that respect. The biggest negative is that there's a lot of risks in it as well, which they're assuming a lot of rosy things. No inflation, interest rates are going to stay low. All these people are going to magically appear for these jobs. So I think there's going to be plenty of room to disappoint.
Graham Wynn, would you agree with that?
I would agree 100% with that. Certainly, yes, it's good for businesses. One quick thing Mark mentioned about the wage growth. I've run this business for many, many years, went through the GFC, et cetera. But about 12 months after that, the salaries dropped by about 10 to 15% as companies tried to recover. We're not seeing that now. So we're coming through this pandemic and employers are now having to pay top dollars already to get good people. So I think wage growth will start happening now much quicker than previous problems we've had, which have had such big shutdowns.
Graham Wynn and Mark Morland, thank you guys for that. You've got a huge budget there wrapped up in less than 10 minutes. You've done very, very well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Speed budget descriptions. It should be your new board game. You've done very well. Guys, you and I, the three of us, will stay in constant touch here on the night shift. Thanks for your expertise. I know you've stayed up late. I know that it's been a lot for you to observe, and you'll absorb a lot more today and keep us informed here on the night shift. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Good night.
Graham Wynn, employment expert. Mark Morland, our finance expert. There it is, the budget in a snapshot here on the night shift.